Good morning, church family. How we doing? All right. I'd like to welcome you all to a service here at the Frederick Church of Christ that we like to call a hospital that we've named the Frederick Church of Christ. And why would we call it a hospital? Well, because a bunch of sick people go to a place like that. And we all have a sin sickness, and we all are in need of the great physician, which is why we are here. And I want to just be the first to tell you, if we can't deal as a family with our sin and the things and the troubles of this world and the troubles of this life in this place with this family, we're never going to do it out there. So we want you to come as you are, leave a little different, and grow together. Amen. There's a couple cards in front of you. One of them is this long one, and it's a prayer needs card. We all have prayer needs. Every single one of us. We have personal prayer needs, or we have prayer needs for those that are near and dear to us. We want to encourage you to allow us to pray with you and for you at least throughout the next 7 days. So if you have a prayer request that you want to share, please fill this out and put it in the wooden box in the foyer. If it's private, you can mark it as such. If you're joining us online on Zoom, you can do that through our website, fcoc.org, or if it's private, you can email it to the shepherds at fcoc.org. I'd like to introduce myself if you're joining us for the first time or maybe the second time. My name is Tony Peterson, and I serve as the minister here at the Frederick Church of Christ. And if you are joining us, we would love if you could fill out a welcome card. We'd like to have a record of your attendance. You put a little bit of your information here. And, we may send you a check for like $500 or something. I don't know. It probably bounce, but I mean, we'll send it, it'll be good. You'll have it. You'll see it. Know that we care about you. We'd like a record of your attendance here. Thank you for joining us this morning. This morning, I want to give you just a few announcements. So if you look at the screen behind me, the first thing says it's impossible. So this is our idea of doing a specific drive for food for our community. So our Frederick food banks are very, very low. The need is very, very high. Now, this doesn't mean you can't bring any non-perishable food item, but particularly through the month of September, we're trying to focus on pasta and spaghetti sauce. So that when we drop it off, and you can see already in the back, we've got tons to drop off, that we're going to drop off so much that the people go, it is impossible that you guys raised this much. So join us in doing that. Sean is here this morning. Every time I say Sean is here, then I don't see it. I know she's here this morning. Oh, there she is. She's in the back. Okay, we got survival kits. These are things that Sean and a team put together for those that are experiencing homelessness. They're kits that really meet the need for where these people are at in their life. If you want to donate those things or go out with her the next time she organizes that, get with Sean and talk to her about doing that. A couple other ways we have coming up to serve are the rescue mission meal. That's not tomorrow. It's the following Monday. We have a sign-up sheet over there. We serve a meal for the guys in the Change Life Recovery Program. And the first Saturday, which will be the following, it's a couple weeks from now, that'll be on the 7th, the first Saturday every month, we do a dinner at the Community Action Agency, aka the Soup Kitchen. There's sign-up sheets for both of those things on the table by the stairs. Coming up on the 14th of October, we have a women's retreat. This will be a one-day thing, and we just had a men's retreat last week. It was really good, and now it's the ladies' turn. So if you want more details, there's a link that you can sign up. There's some flyers throughout the building. If you want some more information, you see Melody Aglin. She's the wonderful lady sitting in the back of the blue chairs there. She'll hook you up with some more info. Also, coming up right around the corner this Saturday is our community cookout. So we're doing this just a few blocks down at the park, Staley Park, right down here on 10th Street. We've got sign-up sheets, which have been busting at the seams. It's amazing how excited our church is to do something like this. On the sign-up sheet, there's a place to put your T-shirt size, and all of you have been doing that. So the idea is when we're there serving, and this is the idea here is to meet people where we're at, where they're at. We talk about this all the time. The way we can bridge a gap and proclaim the gospel to people is to start building relationships. And so as a church structure, we have a really, really big blessing to be sitting right here in the midst of these communities. Some churches, they sit out on highways and other places, but we sit right here with all these neighbors. So we want to just have this cookout as a way to introduce ourselves to the community. So we'll have matching t-shirts. So if you've signed up, or if you will sign up today, you can either come by Friday afternoon, a little bit into the evening, to pick up a shirt, or I'll just bring them on Saturday. We'll meet at about 11:30 if you're volunteering. So Mission Barbecue is catering this thing. We're going to have kids games, a cornhole tournament. I also have more flyers. Please grab one on your way out and invite some people. Amen. It's going to be fun. Okay. So this morning, you all get a break from me after this. Let me finish this. Then you get a break. Bert, newcomer, is going to be bringing the word this morning. And he told me his sermon title 3 or 4 different times. I think it's about this long. So what I'll call it is lessons in love, because God is love. Bert, I don't remember the other 3 sentences that you titled this thing. I know it's going to be good. Let me pray. We'll get back into our worship, and we look forward to Bert bringing that message. Amen. All right, let's pray together, church. Father God, we are so grateful for you. Father, thank you for choosing us. Thank you for adopting us into your family and meeting here today as this family. Lord, continue to mold us, shape us, transform us, Lord. Allow the things that we hear today not to just be information, but that they lead to our transformation. Father, we desperately need you. We love you. It's in Jesus' holy, matchless name we all say, amen.
So as we come to the communion table, I want us to remember why we have this communion, why we take this meal together. We come because God loved us so much that he gave his one and only son to make the ultimate sacrifice so that he can be in relationship with us. And as a reminder, we have the bread that represents his body, that he gave his life so that we may have eternal life with God, and the blood of the covenant that washes away all of our sins so that we can be in perfect relationship with him. And he didn't do it because we deserve it. We're not good enough for his love, but like adopted children, he looked at us and he said, I choose you. I choose you to be my child, to inherit my kingdom. And I want you to have this, not because of anything you did, but because I chose you. And that's a powerful message that it's hard to think about. What do we do now that we've received this? And do we, now that we have been forgiven and given this kingdom over which we are to be shepherds and to rule over, do we go living as we were? Do we let grace abound because of this forgiveness that we've been given? And Paul writes about this in many instances, and in his letter to the Romans in chapter 12, in the first 2 verses, he calls out to us and he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we are given this reminder, we come into this relationship with God so that we can be transformed, so that we can become better than what we were and understand his will so that we can better serve the world that we have inherited. So as we take this supper, let's remember what our calling is and whose we are. So now, if you will, join me in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you have given us. Thank you for this family that you have chosen. that we can be here together to remember the sacrifice that you have made, so that we can have eternal life with you, and that we can serve you with all that we are. Please bless the bread and this juice to help transform our lives every day, though we may stumble in our path. Please be with us and guide us in every day and every moment. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Morning, everyone. Bet you wish you were up here. But the title of the sermon that Tony had so much trouble with, because it was so many sentences, is Lessons in Love Because God is Love. How to Show Love to God and Others. I'm going to start with how my week went when Jim called me on a Monday morning or Tuesday morning and asked if I would do this. And you know, the first thing, you're like, what? So, you know, I said, well, it's this week, you know, it's only a couple of days. And he said, well, you think about it and let me know. So I said, okay. And I'm sitting there thinking, and you know, the Spirit's talking to me, and how can you say no? You know, you don't have to expect it to be good. You know, this is a forgiving church, so yeah, we'll be okay. And you know, and I thought about it, and it was different than the other times that they asked me to speak, because you know, it's all week, you know, I'm like not worrying, but you know, want to do a good job, but I had peace this week about it. Well, that kind of left a little bit when I started walking up here, but I noticed it, and it made a difference. And you know, I know God wants all of us to be able to share, to speak with one another. I thought with Ace having all them poems that I might be able to do a condensed version, but we appreciate that, Ace. But, you know, then this morning, as I was coming, we had the rain was coming. So we had to, Deb's not here because we have four weddings this weekend. And we had to get the stuff that couldn't get wet out of the potential rain. So I did that. And, you know, and I looked at my watch. I wanted to come to Bible study, but I didn't make that. And then I looked at my watch, and it was almost quarter till. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be late for church. So I texted Jim, but evidently he's not here, saying I was going to be a little bit late, but I'm coming. And so I was on my way in, and passed a guy on the road, Tyrese. He's my friend back there. He's having a little trouble staying awake, but I told him, I said, look, I'm glad you're falling asleep now, and it's not during my sermon. But he's a brother that we need to show love to. You know, I'm late. I drove by him. It's raining, and I'm late. God will understand. I don't need to, you know, somebody else. God will provide somebody else for him. So I said, no, I can't do that. Turned around, went back, told him I can give him a ride, but I can only give him a ride to 14th Street because I'm late for the service. And he goes, okay. I said, do you want to go to church? He goes, nah, not today. I said, all right, no problem. I said, they have coffee there. He goes, well, maybe I'll go. So we talked a little bit, and he really wants to try to get into rescue mission. And I said, well, look, I got a lot of good contacts there, so that, you know, there might be an opportunity for him, you know, and, you know, most of the time he wasn't really paying a lot of attention to this, actually sleeping. And I'm thinking, you know, he's here, he's in this place. God is in this place. He cannot be not affected by it, whether he's paying full attention or not. And it was just, you know, just this whole thing of how I ended up being here now is just a story that I hope encourages everybody. Okay, lessons in love because God is love, and how to show love for God and for others. If we love God, we must be willing to share Christ with anyone that we have an opportunity to. Second Corinthians says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We are God's ambassadors, whether we acknowledge it or not. And whether we realize it, we are an example to other people. And what they see, hopefully, is Christ in us. If we're ambassadors, we need to acknowledge it. It's hard truth. It's it's something that we look at and then say, okay, yeah, I know I am, but I'll do it when the right opportunity comes. When the perfect opportunity is presented, I'll be an ambassador to Christ. But this lesson is it's a meat lesson. There's a lot of different lessons. You got meat, vegetables, and dessert. Everybody loves dessert. And, there's a reason dessert's at the end, because that's the easiest. It's the meat that helps us grow. It's the bumps on a mountain that help us climb it. So this is going to be a meat lesson. And in talking about with Jim later on that week, he told me a story, and I'm not going to go into it to the length and depth Jim does. You guys can ask him the details at the next time he's here. But he told me a story of sharing without saying a word. He was on a mission trip on a plane going to a foreign country, Honduras or someplace like that. I don't remember that. But there was a lady on there that didn't speak any English, but they had Bibles in that language, and he gave her a Bible, and she sat there and was reading it. And at the end of the flight, she through a translator told him that what he was there for, and that she had read the Bible and said that she knew she needed that. Well, they ended up having a meeting at their house, and 36 people were saved, and he never spoke a word to her because she didn't speak any English. So there's really no reason we can't share God, even if they speak a foreign language. But we have to share. That's what he wants. And, if it's something that, you're not used to or not comfortable with, start with your family. Our first concern should be our immediate family and, our church family. Pretty much there's, you guys are all saved. I believe that. If I thought anybody wasn't, I'd talk to you. But, we need to share. Matthew 9:37 tells us the harvest is plentiful. All we have to do is look around us. We look with blind eyes sometimes. We don't see the mountain right in front of us. So just an encouragement to look around, because the harvest is everywhere. People are desperate for Christ. And most don't even know it. They know they're missing something in their lives. They don't know what, can't put their finger on it, but it's Christ. Christ is the answer that's going to give us peace in life. And I can say firsthand, there is nothing better than the peace of Christ and God in your life. It's just changes it changes your whole outlook. And, it's just not given to us. We have to seek that peace. I was in a bar. I knew that was going to pop up. But it doesn't matter where you are, as long as the people you're around know whose you are. You need to be a light wherever you are. And it doesn't matter. It's Jesus hung out with lost people. Matthew 9:12 says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And we need to share, to help sick people. There's sick people all around us. And, to think of them being lost, it should break our heart. And back to the story. Every time I share Christ, people become intent. Because of that hunger in them, they just want to know what you got to say. They want to see what Christ is all about. And I've also noticed that when I do share, you know, because in a bar, you know, there's a bunch of people and they're talking and stuff. But when I start sharing with somebody, everybody around me gets quiet, you know, and they sit there and listen. You know, I know they're listening because they're not talking anymore. But when we share, it's contagious. And that has to be a goal of ours, to help others know Christ the way we know him. It was like, and some of the younger people may not know, but it's like when I start sharing, I feel like E.F. Hutton. And for those of you that don't know, there was a commercial that said, when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. And it's just, and you can feel the power of God when you take that step. The Spirit will give you the words to say. The Spirit will lead you. And, you know, because there's a lot of times Satan will use fear to keep us from sharing. Oh, what if they reject me? What if they laugh at me? You know, that's Satan working to keep us from sharing. Because if I take the step to share with somebody, in the beginning, it was more noticeable. Now it's like second nature. You know, I have no fear in sharing. But in the beginning, when you share, you would feel God being pleased with you, giving you the words, and it was very encouraging. Not that it's still not encouraging now, but it's like anything. We need to do it to be able to get better at it. We can't let Satan distract us from our goal of sharing. If we're going to share Christ, we need to surrender, sacrifice our lives. We have to do what Christ wants us to do, not what we want to do. We're by nature selfish. There's just no way around it. But as everything else, the more we become selfless, the easier it becomes for us. How do we do that? Well, first, we have to give our life to Christ, because he gave his life for us. Then we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for the forgiveness of our sins. And then we get baptized. And there's places in the Bible it says, confess, repent, and be baptized. There's other places that say, confess and repent, but doesn't say be baptized. Well, I figure if Christ did it, I'm going to do it. Why take the chance? You know, that's a personal assessment that each of us have to make. I'm not going to say you're going to hell if you don't get baptized. That's not up to me to determine. That's God. But we surrender and sacrifice one moment at a time. We look and say, oh, I can't do that. You know, the rest of my life, I got to do that. Well, life is moments, a bunch of moments. It's not all the moments strung together. That's when life is past us. But we conquer it one moment at a time, because looking at it as just a moment, we have more faith that we can do it. And when we put moment, then next moment, then the next moment, until it becomes natural for us. Life isn't about the number of breaths you take, but about the moments that take your breath away. I didn't come up with all this. And when we do this, our thinking changes and our brains rewire. Bob Ridings had a great sermon that he did at the prison ministry for the prisoners, and telling them, saying, look, God created your brain that it can change, that we can change the way we think by doing things differently. And it was a lot more eloquent the way he did it, but it just opened up my eyes to see that, yes, people can change dramatically, but there has to be a desire there. We just have to set our minds. And, you know, it tells us many times to set our minds. And, you know, for me, I understand it completely, because I used to smoke cigarettes. Yeah, man, I'm not a great guy. But when I quit, and I knew I quit, was when I set my mind that I knew under no circumstances ever could I even take a puff of a cigarette. You know, some people can smoke a cigarette one or two a day and, you know, it doesn't affect them. But I know that if I take a puff, I'm a puff away from a pack a day. And it made me realize that I set my mind. I know my mind is set that I will never do that again. And that's the same way we can set our minds to do the things God wants us to do. But it's a matter of you have to know that your mind is set that I will not do or I will do whatever it is you're looking to accomplish. Don't let Satan deceive us. Okay, we got to stay connected to Christ. We must have a serious prayer life. Just repeating, you know, the prayers, I witness it in my family sometimes. You know, when we were growing up, we said, God is great, God is good, and we thank him for our food. By his hands we all are fed, give us, Lord, our daily bread. And, you know, or going to bed, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, there's nothing wrong with those prayers because we're at least acknowledging God. But a lot of times the problem with that is you just say it and you're just thinking of the words and repeating them, not thinking about what the words mean. Even the Lord's Prayer, you know, you think, oh, I just say the Lord's Prayer. He didn't put that in there for us to memorize it and repeat it. He gave it to us as a guide that each phrase in there is for us to think about and to give God the praise or the request as he's laid them out for us. It's not a verbatim thing. It's not, okay, I said that prayer, I'm good. God wants a relationship with us. He wants a personal relationship from the heart. Got a little ahead of myself. There's no specific form for prayer. You know, it's not like there's a general, like God laid out the Lord's Prayer as a guide for us, but there's no set way we have to pray or God's not going to hear it. God wants us to pray from our hearts. He wants an open, real conversation. And a lot of people just sometimes get uncomfortable with that. Not so much us here, but other people are just for whatever reason, and the reason's Satan, but they don't think they can talk to God like I'm talking to you or you talk to your amongst ourselves. But that's the kind of relationship God wants with us. And you know, it says there, Matthew 5, he tells us to pray without ceasing, you know, pray all the time. And, you know, I used to think, well, then I got to stop and pray. No, God just wants community. You to talk to him in your mind. If you see something beautiful, just acknowledge him for what he's created. When you see something that was good in your life, just thank him. Oh, just be thankful and just talk to him about anything. I mean, that's the kind of relationship he wants. And that he's through his son offered that to us. It's free for us to take hold of. And, you know, a lot of times we think we can or we just plain don't. And don't think that prayers don't work because we can't figure them out. We don't need to know, you know, we'd like to know, but we don't need to know the final outcome. And sometimes we may never know. And sometimes we won't know until we get to heaven. We just have to have faith in Christ and know that he's going to do his very best for us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Hebrews 11:6. Matthew 5:44. This is Jesus talking. It says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray for others first, even your enemies. And, you know, I don't have enemies, but I had people that I don't really like a whole lot, you know, and, you know, I know I got to pray for them, but if I got to make sure that I'm not just praying for them to do the check, oh God, I prayed for them, but to truly feel it in my heart that, you know, they might not be somebody I really care about, but they're God's children. And we have to understand that and know that, you know, They're no worse than us. We're all sinners. We all fall short, and we all need help. If you find yourself doubting, think of all the things God's already done for you. Think about what he's done in creating this world. I mean, there's so much we can, if we stop and think, that we can give God glory and give God credit, and that will help our faith. It's our attitudes that we have to be on guard. We're in charge of our attitude. We can have a positive attitude, or we can have a negative attitude, but that's one thing that we do have control of that sometimes we don't care to take control of. But don't let Satan cause us to doubt. God wants us to rely on him and one another, along with the Holy Spirit to rely on. God wants us to rely on each other. He wants us to share our victories, our suffering, and our inner struggles. When we share victories, it encourages us and one another. When we share suffering, it comforts us. And when we share our inner struggles, it sets us free from that struggle or sin. When we share our secret, I'm going to call them secrets, with a brother or a sister, it sets us free. It sheds light on it. And evil cannot exist in light. It flees. God already knows us intimately anyway. So us thinking we're keeping something a secret it doesn't make sense. But opening up ourselves to others can be downright frightening. It's sometimes enough to keep us from doing it. And that's Satan just using a fear in us to keep us to ourselves. But we need to share sin in order to be free of it. We rid ourselves of hidden sin by receiving help, encouragement, and accountability from our brothers and sisters. It also encourages them to see somebody that's willing to share, that's willing to open up. A great place that I've personally experienced it and witnessed it is at a men's retreat. Our men's retreats are, you know, a time where you feel the most safe. And, you know, it's just so encouraging to see people set free when they're willing to open up and share what's inside of them, what Satan's trying to keep hidden. Don't let Satan discourage us. Okay, what you've all been waiting for, the summary. To summarize this lesson that Jesus helped me write, God is love, and we know it by what Christ did for us. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for a friend. And that's what Christ did for us. We are to love one another with God's love. We are to share Christ. We need to surrender our lives to Christ. We need to stay connected to Christ through prayer. We need to be able to count on one another. There's nothing worse than feeling lonely and that nobody cares, and you're in this battle of life by yourself. We need to be able to count on one another. Satan will try to distract us, deceive us, cause doubt, and discourage us. A lot of other D words Satan uses against us are despair, disappointment, disgrace, distorting God's word, dividing us. Satan is hate, and all he has for all of us is hate. But the more we know his deceptions and his tricks, the better prepared we'll be to be God's ambassadors and keep Satan from defeating us, so that we can be completely delivered. I pray that for myself daily and all of us. And thank you for, would you pray with me? Father, first off, thanks for getting me through this sermon. Thank you for everyone here and all of those that this may help. We love you. We gather here in your son's name. We know he's here. We're grateful for that. We are blessed beyond measure, Lord. And forgive us for times that we may think we're not blessed or our attitudes are negative. But we know that your son's blood that he shed saves us. Help us to always remember that. Help us to always share that. Help us to always live that. It's in your son's name, I pray. Amen. Thank you.